Hello, San Francisco! Let me hear it for Bay Area! Oh my God, it's good to be back. Good to be back. Good to be back.
I'm really cold.
I too am cold, thank God.
Yeah, this has been a boon for you, huh, Heats?
Oh, this has been one. It's been sunny. It's been cold. I ate lobster ravioli, which I think is kind of a scam, but it's tax deductible thanks to you fine people. So thanks for that.
How was your flight, Jen? Oh, no. You ran a marathon in between the last time we did the show and now.
A half marathon, and because of you, it went awful.
Because of me?
Because of you. You
Why?
Decided to turn 40. And
I haven't yet turned 40.
Well,
you probably will.
A surprise party weekend that I did not know about. So it's not my fault. Thank you for clapping for my wife, who's also here. But it was because of that you yes. were late to...
Well, what happened was when I found out about that, we decided to stay. So on Saturday night, we participated in this beautiful celebration of Justin.
At an arcade.
Yeah, by the way, I turned 40, and it turned out it was a lot like my 14th birthday. I was at an arcade with all my friends, and my mom was there.
His mom, by the way, gave a whole speech. Like, we definitely saw where Justin came from.
But not $50 worth of quarters like she did on my 13th birthday.
Congratulations to all of us for not fucking up the surprise. Because there were so many times where I was almost like, hey, Justin, I'll see you later. Well, I'll see you when I see you, Justin. I don't know if you even have a birthday.
Yeah, my lie worked out better because I was like, I'm going to Vegas. I'm going to run this nighttime race, which was true. But I flew out that morning so I could be there at your party.
Real quick, I'm sorry to interject. You do realize
Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Brushwood. That's mostly for the podcast.
You do realize that Justin and I have just spent 5 months on World's Greatest Con Season 3, at which point one person says, well, of course we believed it, because it would be harder to believe in a global conspiracy between the media, all of the principal characters, and everybody in my life lying to me, which is now what Justin gets to live with for the rest of his life.
Yeah, because that actually happened.
It did.
Including most of my friends being podcasters, which counts as the media.
Yeah. All right. Have a good show.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, live from San Francisco, I'm Justin Robert Young.
I'm Jen Briney.
And I'm Andrew Heaton.
And we're not wrong. You guys are coachable. On this show, we will talk about Ron DeSantis conquering Disney, whether or not Fox has put themselves at financial peril by lying about the 2020 election, and your comments not only via email, but also live and direct here in this audience. But first, we begin with this. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill yesterday that granted him power over the Reedy Creek Improvement District where Walt Disney World is located. Disney has controlled the district since the 1960s before construction of the Walt Disney World parks. DeSantis went after the special district when Disney came down against a law that he backed, known by critics as the Don't Say Gay Bill. Quote, DeSantis. Today, the corporate kingdom has finally come to an end. The governor, who is expected to launch a presidential run soon, said in the signing ceremony. In the Florida governor's new book, The Courage to be Free, Florida's a blueprint for a new American revival, written like somebody who's definitely not running for president, DeSantis describes his conversations with then Mouse House CEO Bob Chapek. Quote, as the controversy over the parental rights in education bill was coming to a head, Chapek called me. He did not want Disney to get involved, but he was getting a lot of pressure to weigh in against the bill. We get pressured all the time, Chapek told DeSantis. But this time is different. I haven't seen anything like this in any time before. Chapek has departed Disney. That was in November of last year. He was replaced by Bob Iger, the man he replaced in 2020. The heart of the bill is the appointment, or sorry, the new bill, the one that will replace the Reedy Creek Improvement District, is a five-person state board to oversee municipal services such as fire protection, road maintenance, and such. The newly appointed board will have the ability to raise revenue, to fund services, and to pay off Disney's debts. DeSantis' previous pledge to strip Disney of its special tax status sparked fears with local taxpayers that they would be left on the hook, which I might also add includes my mom, who lives in one of those districts. DeSantis stressed on a Monday that under the new structure, Disney would still be responsible for its municipal debts and local governments and would not raise taxes. So, we asked Jen Briney, is this overreach by Ron DeSantis or long overdue correction of corporatism run amok?
I'm so torn on this one. First of all, I didn't know that Florida owned that city until you told me last
year.
Disney
owned that city.
Yeah, Disney owned that city in Florida.
Yeah. Wait, you didn't know that Disney World was in Florida or that it had...
That I knew, but okay. I didn't know that they actually
typical
left the company.
California bias.
Well, yeah, I am from California. I am
where
from
they made Practice Disney.
Well, Disneyland is in Anaheim.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Practice.
I'll tell you what. Keep booing, and it'll take you as long as it takes you to walk around that park.
Let's not fight. I love Disneyland, and Disneyland's been great for the city of Anaheim, which is where it is. And they've helped Anaheim go from kind of trash, and like they've built new bus stops, and it's fine. But Anaheim still owns Anaheim. So the fact that Disney World was owned by Disney was just baffling to me. So the fact that DeSantis took away a thing that I didn't think they should have to begin with, I don't really have a problem with that. But isn't it kind of like vengeance? Like his motivations shitty.
It is vengeance, and he does not hide it. Like he said, if it weren't for the fact that Disney took a politically directional like opinion about the bill that he was passing, he would not have stripped them. And they did. It was a fuck around and find out situation, according to DeSantis. And they found out.
It just seems really nuts to me if you're someone who wants to run for president to declare war on Disney. They own ABC and ESPN. Like they own the media, at least a good chunk of it.
The funniest thing...
Was it going to do a run on policy? This is a really good idea for Ron DeSantis.
Before we go to Heaton, who is champing at the bit, let me just say, it is not only crazy to do it if you're running for president, it is even crazier if you are the governor of Florida.
Yeah.
In Florida politics, there are three things that you do not fuck with. Big Sugar.
Alligators.
The Seminole Tribe.
Seminole Tribe.
And Disney. I didn't even think to do comedy ones. I should have went five and did two comedy ones. Heaton, what do you think about this?
I do think it's completely politically motivated. I think that this is part of the...
Well, that's not controversial. He said that in his book.
Okay, let me rephrase this. Yes, I do think it's overreach for this reason.
Overreach. So it is overreach.
Yeah. So there's 1,800 special districts in Florida. There's 1,800 of them. And this rule targets those that were made after 1968. Does anybody want to guess when Disney was created in Florida? It was designed to target this one specific thing. It's not that Florida and the governor has said, we think special districts are a bad idea. We think having corporate influence is a bad idea. That's not happened.
No.
They've just done it to this one. And on top of that, they've not replaced it with a democratic polity. They've replaced corporate cronyism with partisan cronyism.
Yes.
The five-person board that's now going to run this is a education school board Republican, the wife of the Republican Party chairman, and I don't know the other three, but I bet you they voted for Ron DeSantis. I don't think it's
and I bet you they will be appointed by Disney as soon as Ron DeSantis leaves Tallahassee.
I don't think that swapping partisan cronyism for corporate cronyism is going to be a big improvement. And I don't have a problem with these districts existing. I like the idea of a big, messy, chaotic country. Florida is kind of the grab bag state anyway, so I think it should be kind of the testing ground. And I'll add to that.
We like our bag grabbed.
In that bag grabbing...
Let it breathe. National. Let it breathe.
Jumble.
It's been a while since I've gotten to laugh at piano fight.
Multiple testicles. I would love for Florida to have more weird stuff. Have some socialist communes. Have some monasteries and shit. I think that's all great, right? I would like for there to be lots of different options there. And I think that, Jen, I will defer to you on this. It seems to me that Florida has benefited from Disney, and I think that Disney has been worse in Anaheim than it has in Florida. So in
ooh.
All right.
So hey, you're on Brian Boyle right here. Now.
Just here to factually correct that Anaheim Disney sucks and Florida Disney's rad. Anyway,
yeah!
That's it.
Boo! You're fired.
I'll tell you what, that takes courage. Applaud his courage.
They didn't.
The true believers did. There we go. There we go.
Do you guys want me to talk about a folksy aphorism involving Oklahoma amusement parks, or do you want me to get into the policy? What's the preference?
Oklahoma
here?
Has amusement parks.
Folksy aphorism. Folksy aphorism.
Thanks. So I don't remember if I've mentioned this on the show. Forgive me if I have. Oklahoma is home to the world's greatest zoo, which is Little River Zoo. It is the best zoo in the world because it is entirely populated by rejects from bigger, better zoos. So if you want to pet a kangaroo, you can, because ours is blind.
Oh, my God.
So it is the world's most lovable zoo.
It's the world's most lovable zoo. We've got a lion that killed a magician.
Brian, get out of here. How do you take that? That's where they house your killers.
He's a magician, by the way.
I mean, he did decide to become a magician.
Hey! Victim blaming is still alive in 2023.
Great. So, anecdote accomplished. Let me go back to Disney here.
Damn it.
When Disney World moves into Florida, the area it's in is just swamp. There's nothing there. It's completely undeveloped. I think it's fairly indisputable that Disney has been a boon to Florida and to that area. I don't know what the history is with Anaheim, but when you look at the relationship between the government and these two entities, Disney is paying for itself. It's building its own infrastructure. It's a net benefit to the surrounding area. It's paying basically protection money to the local sheriff department. It's not relying on handouts from the government. It's providing them. Whereas in Anaheim, where it doesn't have this special district status, they've had a huge corporate cronyism issue in the last couple of years. They've been fighting the Disney-backed candidates and the regular people. The Disney-backed candidates regularly funnel money from taxpayers into Disney. So like, between having a corporate cronyist structure where it's nominally democratic but ends up just taking money from the taxpayers versus one where it has its own fiefdom and it ends up kind of spilling money out everywhere else, I would prefer the fiefdom.
I don't know. I just feel like this company has too much power over the city, so let's just give them the city. I just don't know if that's the
solution. No, but I mean,
solution.
Like, so they made the city. Like,
they literally built, there was nothing there. It was just swamp.
At the point that Walt made the deal with the state government, there was literally nothing there. And so he, because he was frustrated with the assholes in California who kept wanting to tell him what to do, struck a deal. And by the way, it is an insane deal. The Reedy Creek Improvement District was struck at the height of Walt believing he was going to start a new society.
Yeah.
And so...
Like the World's Fair as an experimental moon-based kind of thing.
Epcot now is a place where me, my wife, and my friends like to get drunk and stumble.
It's the best bar in the world.
It was begun as Walt's, like, David Koresh cult. Like, it was supposed to be a utopian ideal where they would be able to create new modes of power, new modes of transportation.
I want lots of those different innovative models. I think that's a good thing.
Go back and look at what he wanted to do. And well, before you start barking about it. No, here's all I'm saying is that in that carve-out, he allowed for, they could have developed nuclear weapons.
No, nuclear power.
It's a broad carve-out. That's
what Iran says.
So you're John Kerry.
I mean, if I shaved and John Kerry had better dress style, I would look like his son. I see your point, Jen, on the idea of a corporation having basically governmental control. But I put on a thought experiment hat for a moment, and I'll kind of invite everybody to live in my head. I don't think that corporations and the government are really different moral entities. I kind of think of the government as just a different type of corporation. So when I look at the Florida state government versus Disney, I can go, well, I know one of these has endorsed slavery. I know one of these kills people on a regular basis. One of these has police officers that shoot people.
Which one?
One of these is, I'm guessing, because I don't know Florida history, probably murdered a lot of Seminole at one point. I don't know that like the Florida state government's just automatically better than Disney. Like, to me, these are both corporations, and Disney seems on average to be kind of better than the Florida government.
But there's a fundamental difference there in that we don't get to vote for who is in control of Disney. So if if you believe in democracy at all, then they're not the same thing, because we have absolutely no power in the corporate structure, and we do in a state government. Like, yes, we have voted for people that did slavery and horrible things, but like, we can change that. We're in a corporate structure. We can't change shit.
I'm more concerned about right of exit than I am about influence and leadership. So people in Florida have very, very, any individual in Florida has very, very limited input on who the governor is or who the legislator is.
Aside from a vote.
Huh?
A vote.
They have one vote out of how many people live in Florida?
A lot. But
a lot?
Also, like...
A billion? Two billion?
I mean, isn't that what we want? We want a vote?
No. This is what I'm saying. Look, no one has to go to Disney. Literally, no one has to go to Disney. No one has to work at Disney. Nobody has to live at Disney. Anybody in Florida has to deal with the Florida government.
Yes.
So, like if you don't want to deal with Disney, you don't have to. But if you want to be in Florida, you have to deal with the Florida government. So I think that, like, actually you have more influence over your relationship with Disney than a voter does with the Florida government.
You have, unsurprisingly, but predictably, for this amazing live crowd... taking this to a boring, pedantic place. that isn't what this really is, which is Ron DeSantis obviously trying to run for president by attacking a thing that Republicans who watch Fox News would like for them to attack because they were upset that there was a gay person in Buzz...
it's another thing. Florida...
BuzzFeed?
Disney World did gay marriage before Florida did.
Buzz Lightyear, the Buzz Lightyear movie. There's a gay person there... and a gay person and other things. And so they were like, fuck that. Someone should yell at them. And Ron DeSantis did. That's exactly what happened.
They're saying Buzz Lightyear's gay?
No. In the movie, there is... I watched it silently over somebody's shoulder on a plane. So I can speak with experience. There is a time lapse where Buzz Lightyear is looking at his mom. And it goes from a young mom... to an older mom, to a mom who is with another woman. And so Buzz Lightyear being of a lesbian relationship was something that affected the box office, along with that movie being boring. That's the kind of woke ideology that Ron DeSantis has in not only his book, but in interviews said he's fighting against.
Great, so let's go to Ron DeSantis then. I don't think the government should be in the business of punishing companies for having an opinion or expressing that opinion. He's targeting one company for exercising freedom of speech. Like, that is not the role of the government. I don't think that they are something uniquely different than all of the other companies there that have opinions and express them regularly. What it is a political opportunity for him. Mm-hmm.
Do you also love corporatism?
No. You knew this would start a fight. I just can't get over how stupid it is. He wants to be president. You don't declare war on ABC. You just don't. And they have Hulu. They have, Disney has its tentacles all over the place. So I just see it as so short-sighted.
He certainly can't rely on independent media. Who would want to listen to that?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Brian Brusher. You know, it's independent voices like these that are so very important in this fractured political marketplace, and that's why we rely on Patreon. That's right. Head on over to patreon.com/...
We're not wrong.
We're not wrong.
We're not wrong. And you'll get unbelievable benefits such as...
Bonus episodes.
You gain 2 inches in height. You lose 15 pounds. If you're diabetic, that goes away. All
Not
that
just
happens.
In height.
Yep. Also laser vision.
And the bonus episode this week will be about the fact that there are a marked number of Americans that are choosing a part-time lifestyle, not because they are forced, but because they are choosing. That will be a part of our Patreon episode, which you will not get if you are listening to this podcast for free. But everybody listening here will get for free. Anything else on DeSantis in Florida before we move on?
No. I just find it's fascinating that this backbencher congressman is even in this conversation.
Do you think he is going to beat Trump for the nomination?
God, I hope so. I mean, I don't like either one of them, but I can't
you
do another
prefer,
4 years of Trump.
As somebody who detests, like, who actively is looking forward to rooting for or rooting against whoever wins, who would you prefer to root against?
The thing for me is there was so much chaos in those 4 years. I hate the chaos of the Trump administration. At least with DeSantis, I know his brand of stupid, so I can kind of, like, prepare myself for it.
Yeah.
With Trump, like, who knows?
He's just going to ban Slurpees because they're non-binary.
You know, you say it now as a joke. Come 2026.
That's for free, Ron.
I think Ron DeSantis has got a very good shot. The polling right now with the Republicans is that about 25% are diehard Trump people.
Yep.
25% are diehard anti-Trump people, and 50% are maybe.
Shrug emoji.
Maybe they're okay with him, but they're not sold. I think DeSantis has got a good shot at it. I don't think he's dumb. You could be wrong about stuff, but he went to Yale. He was, I think, in JAG for a while, the judicial adjutant or whatever for the Marines or the Navy or something.
No, it's on CBS. Yeah.
He's, I think he's got
reactive is probably a better word than
reactive's fine. That's fine. Yeah, I don't think he's dumb. I think he probably kind of came off. He started as a congressman with an ideological agenda and it didn't work. And now he's switched over to the anti-woke thing and it's working very well for him. So I think he's got a very good shot at it. And I think that he's very likely going to take all that wind out of the Trump sails.
I kind of think Trump's that dude. I kind of think that, like,
Lincoln Chafee will rise from wherever he's at in Wyoming or Montana.
I would hate for the first public moment in the Bay Area that I have had to be me being the doomer and saying that, like, it's gonna be Trump Biden again, but this time you feel less good about it.
Honestly.
As if you could feel less good about that decision the first time.
So you really think that the Republicans won't give a shit that he tried to stay president? I think people care.
I think that the point
about... You guys
about
don't think people
I think,
care?
I think 25% care, 25% don't care,
look,
and 50% are thinking about
there
it.
There was an old saying that used to be...
Sorry.
Light went out.
I didn't make that any better
also,
with my screaming.
I changed all my opinions. Everything I said about the thought experiment of corporations, government, made me long live Bernie Sanders.
There's an old saying that goes, Republicans fall in line and... Democrats fall in love, Republicans fall in line. And in 2016, that switched.
That changed.
And I don't think we've seen a reverse of that.
Because what they used
because
to do...
Because like the reason why Republicans love Trump ain't because of logic. It's because of big, gooey, stupid love. Like there is a love for that man that is hard to shake. And so... Until it happens, I would bet that he will be the nominee.
I hope you're wrong, dude.
Well, here's what I also hope, that we move on to the next segment. Dominion! Any Dominion fans in the house?
Wait, hold on. Can we? Could I just mentioned that like three people started applauding when I mentioned Leek and Chafee. I was heartened but very surprised by that reaction.
I mean, hello, everyone. Brian Brushwood here. Also, a light bulb exploded when you said that. So.
This is also our first show. You know that people are coming here for you. Like you're the kind of guy who will mention Leek and Chafee, and they're the kind of people who will cheer
talk
for
talk about Georgism!
That's a good shirt. Dominion, a manufacturer of voting machines and software, is in the midst of a $1.6 billion defamation suit against Fox News. That's now drawn testimony from the conservative news network's owner and founder, Rupert Murdoch. The suit alleges that the network knowingly aired false information about its software based on competitive and political pressure in the aftermath of the 2020 election. Murdoch admitted under oath that Fox hosts, quote unquote, endorsed the notion that 2020 presidential election was stolen, according to a court filing unsealed this week. Murdoch said that Fox News hosts, including Sean Hannity and Jeanine Pirro, sometimes referred to as Judge Jeanine Pirro, had endorsed dubious claims that the 2020 election was stolen. Quote, I would have liked us to be stronger in denouncing it in hindsight, the media mogul said during a deposition. In a filing last week, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, and Laura Ingraham, as well as others at the company, repeatedly insulted and mocked Trump advisors, including Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani, in text messages for weeks after the election. Quote, this is from Tucker Carlson to Laura Ingraham. Sidney Powell is lying. I caught her. It's insane. Ingraham responds, Sidney's a complete nut. No one will work with her. Ditto with Rudy. Carlson
it's
responds.
Rudy Giuliani that he's referencing.
Yeah, the mayor of America. Carlson responds, our viewers are good people and they believe it. The messages also show that such doubt extend to the highest level of the Fox Corporation, with Rupert Murdoch, its chairman, telling Mr. Trump's voter fraud complaints are, quote, really crazy stuff, unquote. On one occasion, as Mr. Murdoch watched Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell on television, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm assuming it's the press conference where he started bleeding through his ears. He told Suzanne Scott, the chief executive of Fox News, terrible stuff, damaging everybody, I fear. So, since no one here is an expert on defamation law.
That's true.
Right? I will ask, what should be the barrier between free speech and defamation? Andrew Heaton, former News Corp employee.
Yeah. I'll get to that in a minute. I wanted for this to be more of a thing I could wail on than I'm going to do. And I say that because I was at the News Corp headquarters in 2016 during when Trump got elected. There's a photo of me, I'm literally like this, and I'd been sitting there like 45 minutes like that as I was hearing lock her up from outside.
Yeah,
I was not a Trump guy, incidentally.
Hello, Brian Brushwood here. Audio listeners, what you saw was an aghast face with his hand across his forehead.
Thank you, Brian. He does this on dates, too. Brian just kind of pops out at the Italian restaurant and narrates things. I was there in 2016, and I can tell you that prior to the nomination, there were a couple of Trump people, but you'd also hear in the green room a lot of people saying, this guy's crazy, he's not a real Republican, and he needs to be stopped, and I watched...
Kind of like what they said via text.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kind of like that, and I watched when he got the nomination, a lot of people suddenly changing their tune, because that was going to imperil their careers. So I wanted to be able to wail on this. So in answer to your abstract question, I think you want to have defamation law set as such that if somebody is actually causing harm to someone in terms of money or potentially their reputation, and they are doing it using falsehoods, not reality, they're going to be punished. But you don't want to do it hard enough that people are afraid to speculate where they're afraid to actually call out bad stuff when it's happening. Like Singapore, for example, you can't really criticize the government or they'll sue you. I don't think that this lawsuit's going to follow. I don't think it's going to work. And the reason I say that is going through all these stories, it sounds like when you read the story coverage from the New York Times or the Guardian or anybody, it sounds like Fox all met in a big corporate boardroom and they all went, we all agree that Trump is crazy and he's lying about this, right? Good. Okay, we're going to lie. Here's what we're going to say.
Well, no. That would actually prove that it's defamation.
And from what I can tell, and I sort of thought that before I started reading the story in preparation for today. I paid the $8 to get the internet on the plane.
What?
So I could read up on this.
Shout out to Southwest.
It looks to me like a network is a bunch of different personalities, and it looks to me like you have the people that were vociferously pushing this, which were Lou Dobbs, Jeanine Pirro, and Maria Bartiromo. They all
can you do your best Judge Jeanine impression for this live audience right now?
The demon rats are like she always.
That should have got a better reaction. I judge all of you. That was really good.
I may or may not have worked within 18 feet of that woman for a couple of years. And let me tell you, she always speaks as if the entire room is listening to her. That said, those three hosts that I just mentioned, who were wrong demonstrably, seemed to believe it. And they were the ones pushing it. The quotes that we're reading about this of these people are crazy, this is wrong, et cetera, that are mostly coming from Tucker Carlson and from Sean Hannity,
Laurie Ingraham, yeah.
And Laurie, I didn't watch Fox during this cycle, but I did go through a bunch of Tucker quotes and things, and I can do some role playing if we can try this.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I am a Fox News host.
Okay.
I think that the election fraud narrative is absolute bullshit.
Okay.
It's clearly crazy.
And what is Jen?
Jen, you are going to be interviewing me, and you're going to ask me in a moment if I think the election fraud allegations are bullshit, and these people are going to play too. You're all diehard Fox people that are considering going to OANN and Newsmax, and yes. I'm terrified of you.
I know it's hard, because you're all normally diehard Fox News viewers. You all have bought gold and retirement savings.
Pillows. You bought a fuck ton of pillows, didn't you?
So many of my pillows. But now you're thinking about going to the One America News Network.
Yeah. Okay, so noting that I'm having to thread this needle of not quite saying that it was fraud, but not wanting to piss you all off. Jen, would you ask me if I think it's fraud?
Reporting from Four Seasons Landscaping, I'm here with Andrew Heaton. Your colleagues at Fox News have been saying that Dominion is switching votes from Biden to Trump. What do you think?
We don't have the full story right now. There's been some uncredible allegations that have been made. There's been some credible allegations that have been made. We don't know yet. What we do know is that election integrity is very important and that a lot of people are poo-pooing election integrity. People that are in power are poo-pooing it. And it also is important that people really believe in our elections and that we investigate these things thoroughly. And I will tell you right now, I fundamentally believe in American democracy and that having respected, honest elections are incredibly important, and I stand by that position.
Audience, are you staying on Fox News?
No.
Are you switching to One America News?
So
you were not good enough.
I didn't do it enough.
And by the way, that was the exact experience for Fox, which is why they tolerated this even longer than so many of their hosts and their leadership wanted them to.
Let me be clear.
They were worried that they were going to give away the farm. That,
yeah,
like,
and
there was
actual
ratings decline.
And I'll back up a little bit, by the way. In 2016, when I was there, the writing on the wall, including a lot of people I was talking to, was that Trump was going to lose, and he was having meetings with other people in media, and it really looked like he was about to form a new network. And there was some thought that Fox would end up tacking center-right. if he did that, because he'd be taking the populist stuff. So that was very much in it. The quotes are there from Lachlan Murdoch and from Tucker Carlson and others. Yeah. They were very much afraid of this.
Is he more of a Kendall or a Roman, Lachlan?
Oh, I don't know. I've not met the Murdochs. However, I did try to literally hire a Rupert Murdoch impersonator to have lunch with me in the cafeteria. Just to fuck with my fellow employees.
Hi, guys. Brian Brushwood here. We're going to press pause on everything. Go.
It turns out there's no such thing as a Rupert Murdoch impersonator.
You should go to the Villages in Florida.
In the Lower East Side.
This is my overall point. I'm not defending Fox. I'm making a delineation here.
You could not find a Rupert Murdoch impersonator. And why did you want to hire one?
Oh, Brian. Because I would go to the cafeteria every day, and I thought it would be fucking hilarious if all of my coworkers saw me apparently having lunch with the CEO in really chummy ways without explanation before returning to my desk. I thought that'd be real funny. That'd be some cool mindfuckery, wouldn't it?
It's genius.
Thank you.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think we just launched a new business.
I'll wrap up on my end. I'm not defending Fox, but I am making a delineation between the defamation lawsuit and journalistic malfeasance. I think you could say, and I agree, that Fox was being cowardly in how it handled this, because they were attempting to...
Which is legal.
They were attempting to...
Cowardice is legal. Remember that, everybody. You can be a coward, and that's a legal thing to be.
So like Tucker Carlson, who has a lot of quotes in here, he was trying to not piss off his audience while not saying it was fraud, rather than just coming out and taking it on the chin and going, look, guys, the election's not fraud. There's no evidence for this, right? You can absolutely say that about that. I do not think it's going to pass muster on a defamation lawsuit, because I don't think that you're going to see an actual correlation between the people that were really pushing it and the people that didn't actually think it was happening.
So the only thing that would go against what you say is that in Delaware, where both of these cases are being heard, the case that I didn't mention is a case against Newsmax by Dominion, in which Dominion has won. Now, you might think that Newsmax being the more free, like, flying place that doesn't have a staff of attorneys, like, would say the kind of shit that...
They probably have Sidney Powell on the roster, is my guess.
Exactly. And the drippings of Rudy's brain out of his ear. But you would assume that if you pay as much for lawyers as Fox News does, that they should not get hit for defamation because American defamation laws are so strong. But we turn to Jen Brown.
Well, it just seems crystal clear to me that they did significant damage to the Dominion brand. You know, there were states all over the country that were talking about removing those machines for bullshit reasons. I just think that I don't think that this is that far-fetched of a lawsuit. But even if it loses, I feel like the country is getting what it needs just to know that Fox News, it's like they didn't want to piss off their viewers, which is so fascinating because they were willing to deceive them in order to play to their emotions about their candidates. Like, this isn't a news station. They lied to these people. And I just feel like I would be really pissed off. Wouldn't you be pissed off if you believed what
television news? Yes, yeah. But I'm not an asshole, so I don't.
Well,
like, what television news do you think is being true to you?
I just have empathy for people who are busy all day. They turn on the news. They're expecting it to be the news. It's called the news. They want to find out what's going on during the day.
Where in Fox News' title does the word news?
Right?
Point that out to me.
Fair and balanced.
No. And this is my old newspaper bias, because when I got into newspaper, nobody who was older than me trusted television news and hated television news actively. I have grown with that prejudice, and I hope to pass it on to everybody that I talk to. It's not a trustworthy medium,
I know it
never has been.
And we're doing the Lord's work here and being cynical and bringing these fine folks
And a little bit drunk.
But the thing is that there's a lot of people in this country that actually do think it's news. And they're being deceived by this channel, and I'm hoping that
it's their
some
fault.
Of this, it's not, though.
No,
they think
I'm victim blaming.
The
it's their fault.
You.
Mixed reaction. Mixed reaction.
They don't know. And I feel just as bad for the people that watch MSNBC. I don't think it's cool to be propagandized when you're just trying to find out what happened that day.
Yes. Television is not a place to learn. Television is a place to watch Eleven fight a monster. That's what television is for.
Okay,
it
so
used to be for
to
watching the Hulk walk. And then eventually it turned into a machine where Eleven fights a monster.
Okay.
Jen, I fully agree with you that Fox deserves a black eye for this. And I hope that this makes people watching it realize that the people on camera are generally more concerned with remaining on camera than they are with telling the truth. That really should be a thing. That said, in terms of the damages, I don't think that's going to hold up either. Demonstrable damages have occurred to Dominion, but Dominion's suing for, I think, $1.8
billion. 1.6,
The problem with that is they now need to make the case, as I understand it, the problem is they need to make the case that $1.8 billion worth of damage have been done to them.
1.6,
thank you. Thank you for that. That's a big number. They had a buy-in, I think, 2 years ago. I don't remember the name of the company, but they purchased, I think, a majority share for $38 million. And so that company did not believe the company that Dominion's worth $1.6 billion.
Sure.
It thought it was a lot less. So unless they can show a bunch of contracts that they lost equaling that amount, I think it's going to be difficult to do it. I agree with you totally. Fox deserves a black eye. This was malfeasance journalism. This was careerists promoting themselves, all that. I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to hold up in court.
I think we're getting what we need right now.
Yeah, exactly. This is it. This is everybody airing the bad laundry or the dirty laundry and showing that people were trying to walk that tightrope of not pissing off their audience rather than telling the truth.
Can we have a conversation about what people should expect from journalism?
So I'm not allowed to do a pedantic, boring thing, but you can talk about journalism.
I know. Here we go again. I think people should expect the truth. I don't see why that's, or at least what people think is the truth. And I guess that's what's so gross here is they knew that they were airing liars on their station. And they knew their coworkers were airing liars on their station. And they didn't do anything about it, especially Rupert Murdoch. He has control over the whole thing.
Well,
so
I mean,
the fact that he's like knows that these lies are being perpetrated on the thing he owns, that's not journalism. That's propaganda. That's party politics. It's just
Can I ask you this? So in that situation, you had, if presidential politics by their nature are a binary issue, you've got one person and another person that's running against each other. And then after it, one person says they've won because the Electoral College also says they've won. And the other person says, I was cheated. Do you cover that or do you not cover that?
I think you find out if they were in fact cheated.
Okay,
and
so you
that's what you
look
cover.
Through the votes, you know the
you what call they, up the what, Secretary of States that we're all saying it was bullshit.
So once the government tells you it's solved, you agree with that?
In this particular case, there was the Justice Department, there were the Secretary of States. I mean, there was
plenty of governments that were saying, yes, the journalists should stop.
Hey, guys, Brian Brushwood here. What Justin's trying to do is trap Jen into...
Now she knows!
...admitting that it's the same situation with Hillary Clinton. That's it for me. Thanks, guys.
Hillary shouldn't have said that either. Everyone who listens to this show knows that I'm no Hillary fan.
No, absolutely. I mean, like, I would say, like, if you are doing, and as much as I like to make fun of television, like, the point of it is that it is conversational.
Which I understand, but Sidney Powell is lying, by the way. They knew she was lying.
And by the way,
that's not just covering a thing.
And Tucker Carlson went on his show and said, I won't have Sidney Powell on my show anymore. I watched that clip because it went viral on conservative media. Like, he eventually said, I won't have her on my show. Now, he did have her on his show to a certain point, and like that is what Dominion is saying is damaging harm. And you're right. Dominion has suffered incalculable damages because now 50% of the voting public doesn't believe that voting machines are something that people should pay attention to.
Well,
I mean,
I don't know what's wrong with pen and paper.
O4 Kerry Truthers, stand up, right? Like, you now have common cause.
Diebold machines.
Diebold machines, right?
Yeah. Those were the 2004 vote flippers, apparently.
All I'm saying is this, is that, like, I agree with Heaton that it is hard to prove defamation. And beyond what this is, if we don't protect free speech in America, then we're Britain, and the elites rule. No, honestly. Look at what free speech is in Britain, where you are like going to get sued at a much lower level for what you say about somebody that is famous. If we start agreeing that the famous and powerful can be affected by anybody's speech, including people that are on television, then all of a sudden, our free speech is eroded.
You're Justin, as a man wearing no less than 4 plaid patterns right now, may I mention?
Go, sir.
You all heard of a prime minister by the name of Winston Churchill? He was banned from the BBC for, I think, 2 or 3 years because he was considered too much of a warmonger in the run-up to World War II. They wouldn't give him any airtime because he was considered too provocative.
How'd that work out?
I don't know. I'm not written. The other thing I'll add, now, granted, I'm a little bit biased here because I used to regularly have lunch with Rupert Murdoch in the cafeteria. I don't know how much control he actually influences over over the hosts that are there. I think that there is a distinction between the news people and the opinion people's job is to say their opinion. And so for Rupert Murdoch to come in and say, everybody here must believe this one thing would kind of be an overstep. Lou Dobbs was wrong. Lou Dobbs has always been wrong. But I think he does believe it. And it's arguable that Jeanine Pirro and Maria Bartiromo did too. And so for him to come in and say, you have to have this opinion, I don't know. And like what they ended up doing was, on those 3 specific shows, once it sounded like there was going to be a lawsuit, they forced all 3 of the shows to play a video debunking the fraud claims, and then they fired Lou Dobbs, which is what they should have done.
I mean, as much as I hate television news, I kind of feel that Fox was dealt a raw hand here.
They shouldn't have been. No, hold on. I'm not going that far. They shouldn't have been cowards.
Well, no. I mean, like, I dealt a raw hand in that, like, how would you like?
I don't even know what to say.
How would you like the candidate that you are backing the entire time? Like, because, like, they've done this, I think, 4 times.
They're
at this
not
point,
supposed to back
right?
a candidate. Yeah. They're news. Don't. Okay. They're not supposed to.
Sure. So let's pretend that every other network isn't backing a candidate.
They're not supposed to do it either.
Sure.
Doesn't make it
yes.
Okay.
But let's imagine a world. I know it's hard, but let's imagine a world where each network backs a candidate and they do it for ratings. But let's imagine a fantasy world where that happens, right? Like in that world,
Justin,
that can't.
Do you know what I love about this show?
Brian, what is it?
Is that despite wildly different perspectives, we all come together and we listen to the audience. Would you like to go into the mailbag segment?
Yes, I would, Brian.
Let's get out of the journalism rabbit hole.
All right, so here's how it's going to go. I'm going to read 1 from the mailbag, and then Brian is going to not interrupt me and sit on the fucking floor and go right into the center. So if you want to talk, then step down to the front of our stairwell here, and you will be right after our first person here in the mailbag, and that is Pump It who writes, if Andrew Heaton were forced at gunpoint to blast music, it would be music.
No.
It's true.
No, no. It would be one of two things. It would either be bluegrass or Broadway show tunes. Those are my true loves. And I have blasted them without guns being pointed at me, and I shall again.
All right. So if you were to come through my adopted hometown of Oakland and you were to blast one show tune, what would it be?
God, okay, I don't know. Probably.
And by the way, it's like around you, it's just like too short, like blow the whistle, like that's happening. And then you're playing what?
I'm being asked to come up with my specific thing to
he
piss
has
off.
So or many, by the way. We did karaoke at Justin's house once, and you did like 10 show tunes. He's going through the list
tunes.
In his head.
Yeah, I really am. This is very. I'm just going to default on Oklahoma, but I'd have to think about it.
That fits.
Yeah.
All right. We have a live question from the audience. What's your name, sir?
Kishore.
Kishore, and what is your question?
I have a question for Justin Robert Young. Wait. Frequent RT contributor, Justin Robert Young.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, we deserve this. Viewers of this, we deserve this.
Oh, that was it? Oh, okay. So the question
so yes,
is,
so yes.
It wasn't a question, but he did reveal that Justin Robert Young's appeared on RT.
I have.
Now,
I'm
not familiar with the letters R or T. Do you want to explain to everybody what those are?
So RT equals
Rupert today. Whenever I talk to my good friend, I call him Uncle Rupe.
Oh, it's so much more fun to be a hyena.
Russia Today is what RT stands for. And yes, I was somebody in a pre-war era that was often asked to talk about American politics. They never told me what to say. They just said what they wanted to talk about. I said whatever I said. And at the moment that they invaded a foreign country, I stopped answering their texts.
Which?
Yes, they texted me after that.
Which show were you on?
Whatever their news thing was. Yeah. I don't know.
I did the world according to Jesse. Like Jesse the Body Ventura. Even though he was on Russia Today, I didn't give a fuck because I was talking to Jesse the Body Ventura. So I was like, sure, call me a Russian agent. I don't care.
Was he cool? How was he?
He was the coolest. And he would give me the questions ahead of time so I would know what I was talking about, but he didn't care what I said. I loved it.
The Pentagon had him pushing too many pencils. Predator joke.
Just so it's logged on the official record, Justin Robert Young ghosted Russia.
It's a fact. That's a fact.
Yep.
In fact, Plain Facts writes in, I did my master's degree in mechanical engineering with a focus on systems engineering, aka the engineering of a large complex thing like planes and rockets. The F-35 program was basically the butt of jokes in our classes about how badly managed it was. One of my mentors referred to it as a money pit. It was literally used as an example of how to not engineer a plane. Too many cooks in the kitchen led to regulations that were so bloated that the program couldn't help but blow costs way out of proportion and were not actually achieving its goals. So the F-35, according to this dude, sucks.
That's what we've been saying.
I am now on board. The F-35 is bad. You convinced me.
Brian.
All right, we have another live question. What's your name, sir?
I've been going by Gin Hands the past couple minutes, but I'd just like to say, Air Force veteran here, the F-35 does suck.
Thank you.
Also, this is the longest line for the bar I've ever been in.
Thank God you agree with me. You said Air Force veteran, I was like, oh, fuck. I'm going to have to change my opinion a third time this show.
Okay, we need more questions lined up. Yeah, what was there a question?
Straight Cash Homie writes, I have always believed salaries are full-time from County commissioner to Congress should always be the average yearly salary according to census and data. If you want more money, do a better job. Heaton, do you believe that every person's salary, either local, state, or federal, should be tied to the average salary?
No, I don't. I like the impulse of the person there that's trying to make public service actually service rather than money, and also at the same time trying to disincentivize people from doing it for bad reasons. I appreciate the impulses there, but I don't think that that's going to work out. One of the problems that they're having in New York right now is that federal judges come in for a couple of years and then quit and go back to the private sector. The reason they do that, I don't know if you all know this, New York City is very expensive. Federal judges are paid.
San Francisco has no idea what you're talking about. Let's talk about New York.
I wouldn't surprise me if that's also happening here in the Bay Area.
Too late.
If you're a federal,
there was a guttural like
should have led with that.
Those were happy noises. We can't see any of you, by the way, so it's just gremlins over there. There we go. There's faces.
If you're a federal judge in Missouri and you're making that pay, it's pretty good. If you're a federal judge in New York or San Francisco or other high expense areas, it's not very good. So what ends up happening is you get people that come in to get the title because they keep it the rest of their life, and they get to put that on their resume. They're there for a couple of years, and then they leave and they go back to private practice. That's not ultimately helpful. You don't want people using federal office just as a resume stuffer, particularly if it's a role that actually requires lots of expertise. So while I appreciate the impulse of the person, I don't think that's the way to execute it.
Jen?
I don't care.
We have a question from the audience. What's your name?
Gabe.
Gabe, what's your question?
This one's for Heaton. If you were to irresponsibly choose a moment during the collapse of the Roman Republic, where are we?
Oh, good one.
OMG.
Irresponsibly, though. Like, do it just willy-nilly. Just throw your thumb wherever.
Get all Dan Carlin.
Right. So if I might take some liberties with your question, I think we're a little bit past the end of the Republic. We're into the Empire, where the consuls are still nominally there, but the Emperor has a lot of power. And I think we could potentially even be moving to a point where the Empire itself is becoming kind of a ceremonial thing there, too. In that, if you were to... Hold on. If we flash forward, and people come back and talk to us today, 1,000 years from now, about like the 1500 years like the Roman Empire.
Turn the lights out. I don't need to see these people.
Let me restart this.
Justin, who's your favorite Pokemon?
Hold on. No, I've got thoughts.
Squirtle.
All right.
I've got thoughts. I think people in the future might talk to us if they had the ability and go, so during your period of history, you had a ceremonial branch, Congress, which wasn't actually a branch anymore. It didn't really exist. It didn't really do anything, but it was ceremonial, like Roman consuls. You had two very powerful political parties, and you had a burgeoning kind of technocracy slash
we have a live spot for Prel
FBI, CIA, and that was the we would all go no. We had three branches. We had democracy and all of this. I think we're kind of at that point where. What we rhetorically say is different than the actual function.
That's fair.
Burn it down writes, while the bourbon is flowing and my cynical frustration is rising, please take 2 minutes to make your case why World War III is not the clean slate that we all deserve.
Oh my God.
Jen?
That's so dark.
So do I have we to deserve World War III? Explain why we don't deserve World War III.
We, in particular, absolutely deserve World War III. We've armed the whole world for it. We've been setting up everyone.
Wait, who's we?
America.
Me, you, and Heaton?
Your taxes.
The people who aren't wrong. Shit.
Our taxes. Have you paid taxes? Because your arm in the world.
Because I liked it.
Doesn't matter. Your arm in the world with them. So yeah, I think we deserve it, but I don't want it.
We have a question from the audience. Whoa, What's your name?
Oh, okay. So you're saying because the United States has armed people, we deserve a gigantic war.
Well, yeah. I mean, if we were to give everyone in here a weapon at some point, someone's going to get into it.
Which one, though? Pick them out.
My money's on Brushman.
Hold on. Do we deserve a World War III that would wipe us all clean?
No. I'm going to...
A bold claim. Hey! Wow! Wow! A big anti-war clap.
No one liked my weird robot answer, but we like the not World War III. I appreciate that. I'm gonna make my case in 2 points. One, you get rid of America, you get rid of all the dogs. What the fuck did they do? Nothing. Dogs don't have nothing to do with nuclear power. Secondly, I reject the premise that an entire country is responsible for the actions of the leaders who dominate it. In historical record, we talk all the time. We say things when you read history books of like, because the French had invaded the Alsace-Lorraine, the Germans burned down X city. And that's not what happened. What happened is a bunch of soldiers came in and fucked up the peasants that had nothing to do with it. And in reprisal, a bunch of Germans came in and fucked up the other peasants. So I don't think you can hold a whole country accountable for that kind of thing.
Me either, bigot. I said that to Jen.
We have a question from the audience.
I'm the worst.
What's your name, sir?
Michael.
Michael, what's your question?
So this is also for Heaton.
Yeah. Is it a Roman question? Are we doing that?
No, it's a zoning question.
Oh, shit.
So,
wait, what was your name?
Jesus Christ.
Audio listeners.
I've never seen...
I just got hard.
Go straighter or his midsection go more to mess it.
He had to adjust himself for this one. All right.
So I'm an architect, and I wonder what your thoughts are on the California state government imposing the builder's remedy if local municipalities don't pass their housing ordinance.
We should have screened for this. Because this will go for 40 minutes.
Unfortunately, I'm unfamiliar with the builder's remedy. Can you explain that?
No, fuck.
Well, hold, so I'm going to take a wild swing. This is probably what I would have said. Under normal circumstances, I'm in favor of local control. I think local control has been wildly abused by localities. I think that states need to, as an entire state, impose very strong property rights and instead of what they've been doing, which is allowing communities to basically be fascists, where they say, you own the property, but we get to tell you what to do with it. That's been wildly abused. What the state should be concerned with is how to keep the property safe and limit negative externalities. So if it's belching out smoke, the state should be involved. If it might burn down, the state should be involved. Otherwise, do whatever you want.
Thank
you, architect.
Divorce is good, right? National divorce is the recognition that history does not justify the continued existence of a polity. There is inherent reason to be one nation rather than two.
There is no inherent reason.
There's no inherent reason. Thanks, Mom. To be one race...
You got
to be
this.
One nation rather than two, or 10, or 50, or 1,000. Looking for federalism as a bulwark against the desire for a peaceful separation is the political equivalent of asking for the universe to stop the formation of black holes because stars are prettier within the ideal range of densities for celestial bodies.
Hells yeah! I think we can all give that a standing ovation!
Yeah! Wait, hold on. Brian, are you for a national divorce?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that was kind of a word salad. I really don't know what.
Thank you, ChatGPT, for the question.
I mean, it is a rehash of the national divorce conversation that we had before, but like for a live audience,
how many of y'all want to get divorced?
Good.
Well, 50-50.
Hold up.
Exactly what you'd expect.
No. This is actually, like, honestly, no bullshit. How much of this audience right now, which assume that they are a San Francisco audience, like podcast people. Like, how many of you want to get divorced from America?
No. Wow.
That's a lot of no's.
That's awesome. And the loudest voice I heard said kinda.
No, there was one voice in the back that was very loud with a woo, and that was it.
Yeah.
There was one person. And that's fascinating to me because I feel
Marjorie
like
Taylor Greene, so nice to have you. Thanks for visiting.
Are you trying to get into a fight? You know where you are?
It's great content.
We got a bunch of I got Twitter feedback on that episode, and the feedback that I got that was angry at our take was we're saying there should be radical devolution where different communities should be able to do different things. Like, I fucking agree with you. I think that's right, right? But I'd like to retain freedom of movement and a free trade network. So also America's
ain't
pretty
no
good.
American want to flash a goddamn passport to go to New York.
Yeah.
Like that's it. I'm sorry. Like that is not going to happen.
And our interstate highway system.
Yeah, come
have
on.
To do checks and no. Sounds awful.
Also have a question from the audience.
One last question. Here we go.
What's your name?
Charlie. So you got a lot of folks from the suburbs obviously coming in not wanting a national divorce. Question for each of you. Lab leak or wet food? Wet market.
Oh.
Lab leak.
Starting at Jen.
I'm lab leak for sure.
Lab leak, and I've been on that shit from the fucking jump. Go.
Yeah, lab leak. I think like all of the evidence is that it originated like about 80 miles away from Wuhan, and it probably went there. And like, yeah. I think it's probably a lab leak.
Yeah. Pitching congressional dish for a second, I did watch a whole hearing that only the Republicans had. It was kind of fascinating that the Democrats refused to even participate. Really pissed me off. But they had some experts there, and they showed a whole map about how if it started there, the way that it could have gotten to that market. It was all about the subway system, and it was just really fascinating. Like, they really looked at how this would have moved if it started in that location. And by the end of that hearing, I wasn't surprised when ProPublica then came out and said, like, yeah, there's something to this, because it was so detailed.
Pitching the political orphanage. I arrived at the same conclusion by interviewing a British lord, my good friend. The
fuck you. Fuck you. I like him, too. But
the Viscount Ridley. The Viscount Ridley made a lot of good points. He wrote a book on it. The Viscount Ridley had some good points. So I agree. Lab leak, yeah.
Number one, how many people right now in this audience listen to Congressional Dish?
Woo! Yeah! Oh, I'm so excited.
The rest
Thank
of y'all
you.
Are fucking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of our first live We're Not Wrong for free listeners.
Yes.
There will be more for Patreon, but because we want to make it sound big and impressive, ladies and gentlemen, that's Andrew Eaton. That's Jennifer Briney. And I'm Justin Robert Young. And we're not wrong.
Let's hear it, boys!
Dog and Pony Show Audio.